Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
We've been talking about for the last couple weeks this concept of loving to serve, not just living to serve, but loving to serve. And I find, you know, we live in a culture that is oftentimes focused on self. What do I want? What do I need to do? What pleases me? But in the kingdom, we actually end up asking some different questions, some more important or relevant questions, like, how do I serve? How do I serve my fellow man? How do I serve God? And I think these are better questions for us to ask, and it's right in line with what Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 20, verse 26. He said, whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. And I think there is just this stark contrast from what our culture shows us and what the Bible tells us, what Jesus shows us about the kingdom of God. The world, or our culture that we live in, oftentimes teaches us, how can I be served in a high level? But actually, Jesus teaches us, how can I serve others on a high level? So I want to dive a little deeper into this concept, loving to serve. Somebody say, loving to serve. Today, specifically, I want to talk about discovering greatness. Can you say that real loud with me? Discovering greatness. Because true greatness is all about serving. That's what Jesus was trying to show us. We can look at Matthew 23:11, where he said, the greatest among you must be a servant. So to be great, we realize we must serve. If I want to be great, I have to learn about serving. To be great, I must serve. And so here's a thought for us to take with us today. Before I even begin to offer my opinion or give my advice, I want to first look to serve. How can I serve? Before I want to see my voice heard, I want to first see, how can I serve? This is really what Jesus shows us, or what he modeled for us. Many times before he healed people, before he would teach, he would heal people. Many times before he would teach, he would perform a miracle because he wanted to serve the people in a unique way. And when we serve, we are equipped in a unique way to speak into people's lives. Because I really believe you have no right to speak where you first haven't served. You know, none of us have a right to really speak with authority into somebody's life unless we first served. Because really, if we take a step back, people don't care what you know or what you're going to say until they know that you authentically care. So I think as we look at the kingdom, and I love that we're talking so much about giving back before we even started the service, but how can I serve before I speak? Because oftentimes we don't have the right to speak. You can speak, but if you haven't earned the right to speak, it's different. When you serve first, you earn the right to speak. There's lots of people that are speaking, but not everybody has earned the right to speak. When I look at sports games, you have people that, there's always that fan out there in the crowd. Sometimes there's several of them, right? They're shouting out all kinds of stuff to the referee. They're shouting stuff out to the players. Go do this. They're shouting out plays. But how many know the players aren't necessarily listening to that voice? There's a difference between the fan and the coach. And what's the difference between the fan and the coach? The fan is shouting out things. The coach is also shouting out things. But the difference is, the coach has served the players on and off the field. He has invested time. He's invested his wisdom. He has served them. And so he's earned the right to speak into their lives. There's fans shouting. There's coaches shouting. But there's a difference about how the what is said is valued. We all have people that are in our life that sometimes offer unsolicited advice. Anybody been there? You got some people, they want to tell you how to do this, they want to tell you how to dress, want to tell you what career to pursue. Unsolicited advice, but nobody really asks them to speak. They offer their opinion anyways. And we can even see this on social media, right? We see people that they're talking, they're experts on something, and they're sharing their opinion freely. But we're not called to do that. We're called to serve before we speak. What makes a piece of advice desirable? What makes you want to hear what someone has to say? Well, when they've served, I believe that's when you want to hear what they have to say. If somebody has served me, or somebody has served my family, or somebody has served my community, I want to hear what they have to say. Because you really have no right to speak where you haven't first served. But when we serve, we show the usefulness of our wisdom. When we serve first, we show that what we're saying is worth hearing. If I really take this principle for a second, and I say, if I serve first, before I speak, how about this? The more that I serve, the more valuable what I say becomes. I've noticed the people that serve more, their voice becomes more valuable. The person that serves less, their voice is still of value, but the person that has served more, wow. Think about the value behind what is being said by someone that makes a lifestyle of serving others. Something funny that I've noticed, and we have the opportunity to work with a lot of different people, but there's always some people that they want to come and they want to give their ideas, but they don't want to put any skin in the game. Anybody ever had somebody like that in your life? They got a lot of ideas. I have found that the ideas from the person that's not willing to join shoulders with you and also serve, those ideas are usually very useless ideas. But I love ideas, but it's that much more powerful when someone is willing to get shoulder to shoulder with you and walk that out to see it fulfilled. I love what Jesus said here in Matthew 23:11. We go back to this. The greatest among you will be a servant. So the more you serve, the greater you become. Do you believe that? The more you serve, the greater you become. I'm talking about in the kingdom of God. That's how it works. What could be said about the opposite? The one who doesn't serve still has a lot to learn about the kingdom of God. The person that doesn't serve still has a lot to learn about greatness in the kingdom, greatness from God's perspective. So greatness in God, or Christ-likeness, I could even say, it's a journey, and part of that journey includes servanthood. The journey is not complete without servanthood. The lesson is not complete without servanthood. Christ-likeness is not complete without serving our neighbor. If greatness in Christ is the objective, then servanthood is the vehicle that helps us arrive at our destination. No Christian's journey is complete without understanding how to serve your fellow man. There is a leg of your spiritual journey that you cannot traverse without learning how to serve. So serving is a necessary part of how we arrive at becoming Christ-like. Imagine this. Some Christians never get to the point of greatness in God that God has desired for them when they don't serve. So it's like this pinnacle or this unexplored capacity of greatness that has not been achieved until they learn how to serve others. Parts of our journey require servanthood. It makes me sad when I see some people bypassing, looking to try to find a way around servanthood, because that is such a key part of our Christian walk. What a powerful vehicle that helps us grow and helps bring change to the world around us. Think about that for a second. A lot of the people that you look up to or admire in the world, in Christian faith, it's because they've served on some capacity. They've served their fellow man. They've served their community. They've served the world. They've served in some way. And so you look up to them. Why? Because of how they serve. Serving others. What would we be without servanthood? Well, I believe we relegate ourselves to the sidelines. Imagine a coach who puts a player on the sidelines. Maybe it's because they're just not as good as the starters, or maybe it's because they got injured. Maybe it's because they got a bad attitude. Coach puts them on the sidelines. When we don't understand or don't have the revelation of serving, it's not God that's putting us on the sidelines. We put ourselves on the sidelines. When we don't serve, we're relegating ourselves to the sidelines of true ministry. This is how the kingdom of God is built, through true servanthood, through serving others. It's how we build up each other. It's how we build up God's house. It's how we build up God's kingdom, by understanding this principle. In Mark 10 and 35, James and John come to Jesus and they ask if they could have places of honor in his kingdom. Essentially, they were asking how everyone would be positioned in the kingdom of heaven, if they could have places of honor. So take for a second, think about this. James and John wanted to understand how things would be in God's kingdom. They understood that Jesus is the King, the Messiah. But how are things going to be laid out? And what positions of honor were available? And what could they possibly receive in his kingdom? And Jesus responds by adjusting not only their expectations, but all the disciples' expectations of how the kingdom of God works. And this is what he says in Mark 10:42. Jesus calls them together and said, "You know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different." Say that with me. But among you, it will be different. Right? "Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be a slave of everyone else." So Jesus told his disciples that they're going to act different than the world. Instead of flaunting authority, instead of demanding that other people serve them, these disciples would learn how to serve each other and learn how to serve the world that they have been sent to help. True leadership in the kingdom is all about serving. Greatness in the kingdom is all about serving. So Jesus challenges his disciples to serve. He said, if you want to be honored in heaven, learn to serve. If you want a special place there, learn to serve. They asked, could we have seats on your right hand, Jesus, and your left hand, Jesus? He said, well, that's God's business of who gets what seat. But I'll tell you this, you have to serve to receive a position of honor. It's not how secular politicians do, posturing, making side deals. It's not about climbing the ladder in a traditional sense. That's how someone achieves a place of significance in the world. In the kingdom, it's a different perspective. We serve our way into great positions in God. And Jesus, of course, says, "I'm the servant of all." You remember that part? Jesus said, "I'm the servant of all." So, if I'm understanding that Jesus is the servant of all, then that must mean that I am the servant of some. If Jesus is the servant of all, and I am trying to be Christ-like, then that means I am meant to be the servant of some. So the question to think about today is, who are the some? Who are the some that I am supposed to serve? Who is it that God has brought into my life? How is it that God wants me to serve? If Jesus is the servant of all, then I am the servant of some. Who is the some that you are meant to serve? What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful vehicle, servanthood, that causes growth in us, that causes change in our world, an important piece of our Christian development, personally and corporately. How do I serve my neighbor? How do I serve those that God has placed around me? Who is my son? As we close, we ask ourselves, what is God showing me in this season about serving? Who are my son? How can I serve them? How can my service enhance God speaking through me? The more and the deeper the revelation that I have of serving, the more valuable my voice becomes. What place of honor has God reserved for me that He's waiting for me to serve so I can walk into? I believe God has a great place for each of us. Jesus told His disciples, "In my house I have many mansions. I have many places that are special, that are set apart." Imagine what God has in store for you as you step into a greater revelation of serving others. I want to serve. For God so loved the world that He served in this great capacity, that He sent His only Son, that His only Son would serve in the greatest capacity we've ever seen in mankind, that He would lay down His life for imperfect people, so that imperfect people could be redeemed and be called righteous. He served humanity in laying down His life. And He's asked us to pick up our cross and see how we can serve others. Will you bow your head? Let me pray with you today. God, I thank You. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Your sacrifice and how You have served humanity. God, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for how You have served us personally. You've done things that we could never do for ourselves. God, I thank You for that. Thank You for Your love in action, Your love in the action of service. God, let us learn from You. It's not just about receiving Your grace. It's about giving back. God, teach us what that means to each and every one of us. It might look different from person to person, but God, You know what that revelation should look like, and we want to walk into it. Jesus, thank You for the greatest act of service that was ever when You laid down Your life on the cross. And maybe you say, "Pastor, my life is not where it needs to be right now. This season, I feel like I'm disconnected, like I've drifted from Him, but I want to reconnect with Jesus. I know I need Him." If that's you, and you want to reconnect with Jesus, you want to reconnect in your faith walk, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today. Amen. 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 Maybe you say, "Pastor, I'm not sure if I ever really had that connection that you're talking about, but I want it. I want to be connected with Jesus. I want Him to take the lead in my life." If that's you, slip up your hand. I want to pray with you too. Amen. Amen. If you lifted up your hand, I want to pray with you right where you are. I want you to say this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this prayer, you can say it too. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for laying down your life so I could be redeemed and forgiven and reconnected to a loving Heavenly Father. And I'm sorry for all of my sins and every mistake that I've ever made. Forgive me today. Apply the perfect work that you did on the cross to my life. I realize I need you. I cannot make it without you. I need you to strengthen me. I need you to guide me. I need you to show me how to live a life that pleases the Father. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today. It's good to know that you have said yes to Jesus. There's nothing like that. Walking out of this place knowing I am in the right position with Jesus. Powerful things happen when we say yes to Jesus. Whether that's the first yes or it's a yes to go to another level, there's power in agreement and following Jesus. I'll leave you with this thought. If God is for you, who can be against you? And if Jesus is in your corner, you will be.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.